one interview, we have another show in the studio. And as always, we're not restricting it to a genre. We are now going to go with... Hold on. Do you want me to be atmospheric and moody or nice, quiet and upbeat in the introduction?
Oh,
atmospheric.
Yeah.
Okay. Picture a dark theatre that brings to mind the sort of village that can only be written by John Wyndham. The sort of village where you have residents that all go, Vincent Price, he's quite a nice chap, isn't he? You would be in the gothic comedy of Fawlty Towers meets Flann O'Brien. Kind of spoiled on the flyer there. Melmoth the Wanderer.
Oh, that was really good.
It was, yeah, and it's recorded, so you can listen back to it again if you must.
Oh, thank you.
I must.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
Yes, Melmoth the Wanderer joins me now. A wonderfully atmospheric theatre piece for the late afternoon, playing at 4:10, right through until the end of the Fringe at Assembly Rooms. The company is Big Telly Theatre, and from there we have...
Shelley.
And Keith.
There we go. Who's behind this psychotic, mind-blowing mess of a show?
Yes. Well, the originator is Charles Maturin, who was the uncle of Oscar Wilde, and he wrote the first, what I believe is the first ever Gothic novel, and that is called Melmoth the Wanderer. And then our director, Zoe Seaton, who runs Big Telly Theatre Company, a Northern Ireland-based theatre company, decided, right, I'd love to adapt this and do a show. So she got Nicola McCartney, who I think works here in Edinburgh, to do a bit of writing, and then we did a bit of improvising, and then we have the show.
So, gothic.
Yeah.
It's a well-used term.
I know.
Obviously, back in those days, they didn't have pasty-faced teenagers going around listening to Bach going, oh, I want to kill myself.
No.
Gothic means something else, doesn't it?
I think the only difference was back then they hadn't got pasty faces. They still wanted to kill themselves. No. I think just basic gothic means it's quite dark. I think with regard to the costume, the lighting, that kind of thing, it's just a word that we're using to describe, I suppose... the darkness in the show.
And it is quite a dark show. I mean, there are like moments. This isn't going in and it's a completely heavy downer. But
no.
It is a show that takes you into one of those delightful theatre spaces of you're not quite sure that you want it to go where you think it's going to go.
Yeah, and I think it doesn't go where you think it's going to go. There was one of our stage manager, her friend is up at the moment staying in Edinburgh and came to see the show yesterday. And she was like, it was just totally unexpected. Her friend had told her kind of a little bit about it and then she'd read the flyer and then all of that. But it's still totally unexpected. So every time I think people think they know what's going to happen next, it doesn't.
Set the scene for us. As the show opens, what do we have?
Well, we have a choir. I'm the chairperson of the choir. I play Polly McFarlane, the chairperson of the choir.
I'm Dave the treasurer.
He's really unbelievable at numbers. 3 + 5, Dave.
8. Straight in.
And in bass 7?
I haven't got to bass yet. But thanks.
It would be 10, just to confuse you.
There you go. Okay. Thank you very much. You should join us. We need
so good at arithmetic. Good at arithmetic, not at math. You've not heard me sing. If I go, kids, I'm about to sing, my kids from the other side of Edinburgh will go, Daddy, no!
No. Well, we're not brilliant singers.
We're not amazing, but in our heads we think we're amazing.
We've
won so many amateur dramatic society festivals, 2009, 10, 11, shoe-in for 2013. We don't talk about 2012. So we will sing all day long.
Cool, yeah. And you know next to me, you'll sound like a Grammy Award winner.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you'll have your second album. And then you'll break up just before the second album is released. And the record company will carry on to promote the Civil Wars. It's still a fantastic album, though I'm being sidetracked. Carry on.
One thing that's lovely about the show is that it's kind of, I suppose, it's really, really dark, but there's loads of humour and it's kind of soft in the darkness. But it's that area of humour as well where people aren't sure whether they're supposed to laugh or not, which is not nice because then people will come out afterwards. They were like, I was laughing, but I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be. And does that make me a bad person? And we're like, no.
That's good.
Makes you a really good audience member.
That's what we want, yeah.
I mean, when you hit the show, Melmoth, let's take the character. We've opened up, we have a choir, we have everybody in the church, we have Polly, we have Dave the treasurer,
yeah.
And everybody else.
3 + 5.
And then you have Melmoth.
Yeah, he's dark, he's very dark. He's super dark, yeah.
He's had a curse.
That's great, because I thought she was just going to go, oh, we're not going to tell you what happens in the show. It's just dark. It's dark. It's dark. It's dark. It's dark. It's like, I'm Polly. It's dark. It's dark. I'm the
He wears dark clothes. No, but he's had a curse put on him by the devil.
Yeah.
It's going to last 120 years.
Well, he's made a deal with the devil. It's like a Faustian pact. So basically, he gets eternal life, incredible powers, as long as he goes around and tempts people in the darkest hour to give over their souls to the devil. So that's his job. And he does it quite happily until something happens. He meets somebody and everything changes for him. He doesn't want to do it anymore, and then he is cursed, and part of his curse is to relive these events in his life with the help of Polly, Dave the treasurer, and Bridie and Fergal.
Yeah.
Yeah, who are doing the very best. They think they can get a bit of singing in. Yeah, yeah.
So when you have a piece like this, do you approach it from a comedy point of view, from a theatrical point of view, from a gothic dark point of view? Because it does go in so many places. It seems to me, as someone who doesn't do acting, it would be quite hard to work out what your role and how you should handle performing the piece.
Yeah, this
novel is like huge. It's huge, so you couldn't tell the whole thing, so you take parts of it. So we're in essence we're telling what Melmoth's plight is in a way, and then we use this choir then, and we're all dressed up as half masks, so we have the half mask, which makes it a very kind of, it gives it a comedic style straight away, and so therefore we can kind of tell the story jokingly, because if you told the whole thing in its essence of its darkness,
then, which is what was being threatened earlier.
Exactly, dark. Did I say the word dark? And then if you told that, like, I mean, it'd probably be unpalatable. Whereas
the choir are the perfect people to tell this dark story. You know, they are absolutely perfect for it,
because we're incredible innocents.
Yeah.
So for us to tell something dark, you know what I mean? It takes us way out of our comfort zone, and that in itself is a challenge.
Yeah, and funny. But the thing about the different styles is that's absolutely right, and that's part of the challenge of it. And I think for Nicola, when she was trying to get the show is partly written and partly improvised, so stuff changes every single night in it. So and it was a challenge to kind of get it all down and to kind of try and get all the styles in, but there's so much in there. So you've got the half mask, you've got the comedic style. Zoe Seaton is in, her style is really, really theatrical. So there's all that visual stuff going on. She hires people who are funny. So there's all the comedy. They're bringing all that comedy to it. And then there's the darkness, which is sometimes incredibly moving. So I think she, you know, she's trying to get all that in there.
It sounds a fascinating piece. If you go up there, it is a wonderful watch. Remind us once again when it is on this year at the Fringe.
It's on at 10:10 in the Assembly Rooms every day except for the 13th. Yeah. And that's the Assembly Rooms,
not the
Assembly.
No,
we don't do the 13th. We never work on the 13th. It's our special.
And it's asking for trouble.
It is, yeah. It's Assembly on George Street and the AR Fringe lot. I'm going to say thank you very much for turning up.
Thank you for having us.
Very, very old book, new stage production. Really, really enjoying what you've done with that one there.
And nice on you, and thanking you, lads.
Thank you.
Happy day.